Campana's first nighter program. From the little theater off Times Square. Starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy with an all-star cast sent to you by Campana, the quality name in cosmetics. Broadway, theater time. And tonight a new play makes its bow from the stage of the little theater off Times Square. An opening night is truly an exciting occasion. And part of the fun is rubbing elbows with the stars of stage and screen, glamorous debutantes, and swarms of other fashionable folk. Now, here is our host in Top Hat and Tails, the genial first nighter.
Good evening. Traffic can be heavy on these Broadway opening nights. Here's my cab. Won't you step in? All right, driver, to the little theater. Up Broadway, across 42nd Street, and into the bustling, colorful Times Square district, world capital of theaterland. And just ahead is the famous little theater. Well, here we are.
Hey, old chap, isn't that Reese's Stevens?
Oh, my, I'm sure I saw Robert.
Please, really, no autographs. Now, this is just a hunch.
Have your tickets ready, please. Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, in comfortable down front seats, all ready to enjoy the premier performance of another original Broadway play. Lovely ladies and their handsome escorts are being shown to their seats by the ushers. Yes, and there's Frank Worth and the famous First Nighter Orchestra in the pit. But now, let's glance through tonight's program. The play is entitled A Writer in the Family, written by James Arthur Roty, and co-starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy. Miss Luddy is cast as Nora Stevens, a writer of Western stories, better known to her readers as Shorty West. Mr. Soule will play Bill Hanley, a highway surveyor. And what an all-star supporting cast. Hugh Studebaker, Mary Lansing, Paul Frees, and Arthur Q. Bryan. And now there's just a moment till first curtain. There's a signal for first curtain. The house lights are out, and here's the play.
Now, you dag-blasted vulture, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm coming for you.
Gramps!
What I do, I'm a-coming smoking. One, two...
Gramps!
Hey! What's that? You calling me Norrie?
You know perfectly well I am. Now, you better come in here before you hurt yourself.
Oh, holy jumping Jupiter. Anybody think you was my mother instead of my granddaughter? Me hurt myself?
Now, let me have Genevieve.
Norrie, did I ever tell you about the time me and Genevieve here captured them 16 rustlers? Well, I was riding up Black Bear Canyon, and all of a sudden I noticed something.
It was Red Johnson and 15 of the roughest, toughest hombres this side of the Mississippi.
Yeah,
they was a-changing brands of Jeff Gordon's prize steers.
Oh, shucks, somebody told you.
Gramps, if your back is too sore to operate the gas pump, it's not going to get any better with you carrying on like Wild Bill Hickok.
I was just practicing my draw.
Now give me that six gun.
Now, you ain't going to hide Genevieve again.
I most certainly am. Not that it'll do any good. You always manage to find her again.
Right.
Now, you better come in and lie down.
Me? Lay down? I just got up.
Gramps?
Oh, what chances no buzzard like me got with two females around here anyway. Hello, Aggie.
Hi.
Now, get me a magazine. Go look at the pretty picture. Well, looks like I ain't seen this one yet.
Oh, and, not that one, Gramps.
Well, it's a Western, ain't it?
Yes, but I've already started a story in that one.
Now, since when do you read Western?
Oh, since... Oh, never mind. Now, you take this one and run along.
Isn't sure you can't do nothing around here anymore.
Ooh, that was close.
Nora.
Yes, Aggie?
What are you going to do when Gramps finds out that's his picture in True Western Yarns?
Oh, he'll never even recognize it. The picture was taken years ago when Gramps still had a beard.
Well, sooner or later he's going to find out that you're the Shorty West who's been writing the Cole Sheldon stories for True Western Yarns.
Not so loud. He might be listening at the keyhole again.
Well, it's about time he learned the truth. But the filling station just doesn't pay anymore. Nor you've been keeping things going with your story money, haven't you?
Yes, Aggie, but Gramps mustn't know. He thinks I'm writing a novel. It'd only hurt his pride to find out that he's really dependent on me. Don't you see?
Well, then why did you send his picture to that magazine editor?
The editor wanted a picture of Shorty West. I couldn't send him my picture, could I? You know what Benjamin J. Rice thinks of women.
Yeah, strictly NG. Say, what's the matter with that guy? Didn't he ever have a mother? Oh, it's our ring.
I'll get it. Hello? Yes? What? Who did you say? Shorty West. Oh, Aggie, it's him.
It's him? Who?
Benjamin J. Rice, editor of True Western Yarns.
Uh-oh.
What's that? Just happened to be passing through town and thought you'd drop in and see Shorty West. Aggie, this is awful. He wants to meet Shorty West in person.
Golly, you better start raising a beard in a hurry.
Gus.
Huh?
Hey, Gus, take a look here a minute.
Oh, what gives?
Hey, careful of the tripod. Take a look through this thing. See if you see the same thing I do.
Huh?
Well, what do you see?
Nothing. Only that old white house next to the filling station.
Only? That's it. We're laying out Highway 87 so that it's a-going right through that house.
Holy smokers. You sure you got this thing set right?
Positive. I've checked everything three times just to make sure. Highway 87 is a-going right through Mr. Stevens' house.
Stevens? Is that the guy's name?
That's what it says here. Here, see? In Stevens.
Yeah, that's it, all right.
Yeah. And maybe we ought to drive over and pay this Stevens guy a call.
It's okay with me, but somehow I got a feeling he ain't gonna like us.
There. See how simple it is, Aggie?
Uh-huh. But, Nora, I came out here to pay you a visit, not to play nursemaid to a broken-down gas pump. Why do you have to go out to lunch with this editor?
Because he asked me to. You see, he thinks I'm Shorty West's private secretary.
Oh. And what happens when he finds out that Nora Stevens and Shorty West are the same person?
Well, I'll think of something. All I know is that Mr. Rice is ready to sign a contract for a series of Cole Sheldon stories.
Well, swell, but I thought he didn't like women.
He likes the sound of my voice over the phone. He told me so.
He did?
Mm-hmm. His is rather nice, too.
And where is Shorty West supposed to be while you're out billing and cooing over your lunch?
Well, I don't know just yet. I said he was out and he'd be back later.
Yeah, you better watch your step before you develop one of these split personalities.
Oh, hush. Gee, I hope Mr. Rice stops first here at the gas station like I asked him to. I wouldn't want him to get tangled up with Gramps at a time like this. I think you can manage the station while I'm gone.
Oh, I can manage all right. But can you?
You just leave this Mr. Rice to me. I'll make him wish he never wrote that bosh about incompetent women writers.
Well, unless I'm mistaken, you can start right now.
What do you mean?
Look, isn't that your editor now?
Ooh, we sure got out here from town in a hurry. He must be a fast driver.
Who's that with him?
Oh, probably just his chauffeur.
Hiya there, beautiful.
That's him, all right. Just listen to that line.
Well, he's not just a fast driver. Hey, he's wearing riding boots.
Oh, well, that's just local color, Aggie.
Well, as I live and breathe, you are beautiful. Actually beautiful.
What did you expect? Two heads?
Well, no. You see, I was looking for an N. Stevens and just thought I'd inquire here.
Well, I'm Nora Stevens, Miss Nora Stevens.
Well, I expected to find a man.
Well, yes, I know.
You do?
Yes. Did you bring the necessary papers with you?
Papers?
Yes, the ones I'm supposed to sign. I have full power of attorney, you know.
Boy, things sure do get around fast. We hardly got our tripod set up, and right away everybody gets wise.
Yeah. Well, Miss Stevens, I reckon you've already made up your mind to some nice fancy price, too.
Well, shall we discuss it at lunch?
Lunch?
Well, you are going to take me to lunch, aren't you?
Well,
I thought the Oasis Rendezvous would be rather nice.
The Oasis Rendezvous? Well, that's miles from here.
Well, Mr. Rice, shall we go?
Why, yes. Yes, of course. Yeah, Miss Stevens, my arm.
Hey, you're not running out on me, are you? She called you Mr. Rice or something.
Yeah. Gosh, she can call me Mr. Smooglefoot for all I care. One side, Gus. You heard the lady. She wants to eat.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of the night's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking in the outer lobby or downstairs only, please.
All right now, ladies, here's Larry Keating with the latest word about the newest sensation in the world of beauty.
Ladies, once in a lifetime, a sensational new development appears in the world of beauty. So glamorous, so new, so different, that it makes everything that preceded it look out of style.
You must be referring to that miraculous new cream makeup called Magic Touch. Did you say Magic Touch? Oh, tell me about Magic Touch.
Magic Touch, my dear, is Campana's new wafer-thin cream makeup that comes in a convenient-to-carry white and gold compact.
What does it do?
It magically transforms your complexion quickly into flawless loveliness. Here, try it and see for yourself.
What do I do?
Just stroke your fingertips across the surface of Magic Touch. Then smooth it on your face and blend it in.
Oh, divine. What makes it go on so smoothly?
Magic Touch contains a new magic ingredient that makes it blend with your skin better than any cream makeup yet invented without being greasy.
I love the way it feels. Not mask-like and no caked stiffness.
Magic Touch gives you that modern, unmade-up look. Because the new complexion demands a delicate, fragile Dresden doll complexion beauty. Heavy-looking, obvious makeup is out.
Now, do I powder?
No, if you want that new luminous look, and I don't mean shiny.
Yes, if you like a dull, matte-like finish.
I love it, just as it is.
Magic Touch is all you need to be beautiful for hours and hours and hours.
By actual test on groups of women with all types of skin, Magic Touch was superior for lasting quality. Stayed lovely longer. Retouching unnecessary until after the sixth hour. Most makeups require mending after 2 or 3 hours.
And don't forget how inexpensive this magic makeup is.
Only $1 for the large compact of Magic Touch. Only 39 cents for the special introductory size. Try Magic Touch tomorrow. See how much prettier you can be.
Curtain.
The first nighters are hurrying down the aisles to their seats. The lights are dimmed, and here's the second act of The Writer in the Family.
My name is Rice, Benjamin J. Rice.
Yes, huh?
Yes. Why, it's you, Shorty, you old rascal, having your secretary tell me you were out.
Shorty, huh?
Yeah, Shorty West.
Nope. Can't rightly say as I recollect anybody with a handle like that around these parts. Must live in the next county, stranger.
Oh, that's marvelous. Why, I'd know you from your picture any time, even if you have shaved off your beard.
Ain't had my picture took in over 30 years.
Huh?
Now, whatever it is you're selling, I don't want any.
What? Now, see here, you can't give me the brush off like this.
Can't, huh?
Oh, so dynamic Western thrillers have offered you more, have they? All right, I'll meet their price. I'll even top it.
I'll get along with you.
Yeah,
I'm going to count three, and then I'm coming for you. When I do, I'm coming to smoking. One.
Oh!
Two.
Oh!
More coffee, baby?
No. No, thanks, sir. Benjamin.
Like to dance again?
No, You know, somehow your voice doesn't sound like it did over the telephone.
Oh, well, your voice never does sound quite natural over a telephone, does it?
No, I guess it doesn't, but...
Yeah?
Well, just why do you pretend to hate women when you...
Me? Hate women? Why, I like them very much. Especially pretty ones like you, baby.
You say the sweetest things, Benjamin, if only you meant them.
Why, I do. Here I am practically throwing myself at your feet. You, what do you do but doubt my sincerity?
Well, if you're such a sincere person, then why have you been avoiding the subject of writing?
Have I?
You most certainly have. You've let me talk my head off about Shorty West, and never once have you even so much as let on that you ever heard of him.
Well, it's all been wonderful, but everything has to end sometime. Nora, my name is not Benjamin Rice, as I've let you think. I'm just plain, ordinary Bill Hanley.
Bill Hanley?
Yeah, baby. Now you know. Well, go on. Tell me to get out, to go peddle my papers. I deserve it. But gosh, I'd sure do it again if I ever get the chance.
Oh. Well, isn't that strange?
Is it?
I never knew editors didn't use their real names, but Ben, Bill, I'm so glad.
You are?
Yeah, because that makes things so much easier for me.
Does it?
Yes. You see, I've been kind of deceiving you, too.
You have?
Uh-huh. I'm Shorty West, the author.
Well, what do you know? Well, then I'll have to call you Shorty, won't I?
You don't hate me for it, do you, Bill?
What? Gosh, no, me hate you just because your ma names you Shorty, baby doll.
It won't make any difference in the signing of the papers.
Why, no, why should it? All you have to do is prove ownership. What's it matter if your name happens to be Shorty?
Oh, I can prove ownership. I kept a carbon copy of everything, even the letters I wrote to you.
Shorty, huh? You know, baby, I kind of like that name. Well, time's a-wasting. How about dancing this number, Shorty, baby?
I'd love to, Bill.
Now, look, lady, I've been trying to tell you, I ain't nobody's chauffeur. I'm Gus Norton, see? And me and my pal, Bill Hanley, both work for the County Highway Department.
You mean he... That man isn't Benjamin J. Rice.
No. And Bill sure ain't no magazine editor, neither.
Oh, this is terrible. Nora's been kidnapped by that stranger.
Oh, Bill ain't no stranger. Now, just take it easy.
Take it easy? Why...
Quick, is there a telephone here?
Say... Mister, you look like you've seen a ghost.
Maybe I did. Did you ever look into the business end of a six-shooter?
You mean you've been held up?
I have been threatened with a deadly weapon, with deliberate intent to do bodily harm.
You have?
Yes, by Shorty West, the writer. But I'll teach that old coot he can't make a monkey out of Benjamin J. Rice and get away with it.
Did you say Benjamin J. Rice?
I most certainly did. Where's the telephone? I'm going to call the sheriff and have that maniac put in jail where he belongs.
Oh, this shouldn't happen to a prairie dog.
Young woman, have you or haven't you a telephone?
Oh, telephone. Well, yes, it's in there.
Thanks.
Hey, that's a stock room.
I don't see any telephone in here.
Oh, there. So you're going to call the sheriff, are you?
Hey, let me up. You can't do this to me.
Can't you go any faster?
I'm doing the best I can on this road, baby.
You stop calling me baby.
You didn't seem to mind just a little while ago, Shorty. Baby.
Well, that was different. That was before Aggie telephoned me and told me you were just a county highway surveyor and not Benjamin Rice at all.
But I tried to tell you, and I said I was sorry.
Sorry? Well, do you realize that if Mr. Rice leaves before we can get there, my life is completely ruined? Poor Gramps, we'll both be in the breadline.
Ah, wait a minute. Talk sense. You'll still have the filling station, even if this Rice guy is as tough as you say.
Not that it's any of your business, but the filling station's been losing money for over a year.
Oh, gosh, baby. Shorty, baby. If there's anything I can do...
No, you've done quite enough, thank you. Anyhow, we're there now. I just hope we're in time.
Oh, sure. Look, there's a car out in front.
Bill, I...
Yeah?
Well, before I go in...
Yeah?
Well, never mind. You wouldn't understand.
Oh.
Oh, there's Aggie.
Nora, darling, are you all right?
Why, of course she's all right. Why shouldn't she be?
And never mind about me. Where's Mr. Rice?
Oh, he's still locked in the stockroom.
Locked in the stockroom? But you said over the telephone that you and this Gus person were entertaining him till I could get here.
Oh, well, we've got the radio playing right outside the door.
Oh, Aggie.
I had to lock him up. He was going to have Gramps arrested for drawing a bead on him.
Oh, Gramps found Genevieve again. Oh, dear.
If you ask me, it serves this Rice guy right for being a woman hater in the first place.
Nobody asked for your opinion, Bill Hanley.
Yes. Haven't you done enough? First kidnapping and then making poor Nora lose her job. But are you satisfied? No. You have to build a highway right through the living room.
Oh, I'm not a kidnapper and she hasn't lost her job yet. All I've done is take a beautiful girl out to lunch. Now, is that a crime?
Aggie, what was that about the highway?
He's building Highway 87 right smack through the middle of the living room. Gus told me so.
Oh, Bill Hanley, is this true?
Well, yes, but I can explain everything.
That won't be necessary. You deliberately lied to me so you could get Gramps' property away from him as cheaply as possible.
Oh, no, Shorty, baby,
the less
wait.
I see of you from now on, the better I'll like
but
it.
But I can explain.
And that goes for your old tripod, too.
The curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking downstairs. Smoking downstairs.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, a momentary interlude conducted by Quizmaster Larry Keating.
What hand lotion are thousands upon thousands of women purchasing in the stores these days?
Italian Balm.
So many women say it has no equal.
What is the latest news about Italian bomb?
After its absence during the war, it's back again, made just as it was before the war.
With all of its original ingredients, with all of its original goodness.
But what about its price? Has that gone spiraling upward like most everything else?
Indeed, no. You get the same quantity, same quality, at exactly the same pre-war price.
For protecting hands against dryness and chapping,
give me Italian Balm. It's so rich, so different from thin and watery lotions.
For glamorizing hands, for keeping them soft and pretty,
Italian Balm, if you please. It helps you get elected to the Holdable Hands Club.
Nighters are all in their seats, ready for the last act, and there goes the curtain.
Young woman, am I to understand that you really wrote all those Cole Sheldon stories?
Yes, that's right, Mr. Rice. I've decided to tell you the truth and get it over with.
I see. So you're Shorty West?
Yes.
Well, I'm mighty happy to meet you, Shorty. I'm Martha Washington. What are you trying to pull anyway?
Nora, he's going plumb loco on us.
Mr. Rice, please. Now, I can explain. I can prove it.
Oh, you can now.
Well, I reckon you and me better have a showdown, partner. They went that away. Reach for your hog leg, stranger.
Honest, Mr. Rice, it's me.
Then how do you explain this?
Oh, that.
Yeah, this picture of Shorty West.
Well, that's Gramps, my grandfather. I sent you his picture because I thought you didn't like women.
Oh, I see. Young woman, you don't seem to understand my position. It's bad sales psychology to have a woman's name connected with a Western story.
But why?
Who wants to read Six Gun Revenge by Lucy Fairfax? Or Death in the Saddle by Nora Stevens? It's unthinkable. No, I tell you, Miss Stevens, I'd be the laughingstock of the entire publishing business.
Looks bad for her, Gus.
Yeah.
And it's all my fault, too.
All right, so it's your fault. Now let's get away from this window and stop this eavesdropping. It ain't dignified.
Shh, not so loud, Gus. They'll hear us.
And furthermore, I don't believe you are Shorty West. And even if you were, I wouldn't publish a Western story written by you or any other woman.
That's being very unfair, Mr. Rice. Just what have you got against women, anyway?
Nothing, my dear. Women writers of Western fiction, yes. Business is business, you know. But, women as women. Yourself, for example. I find you very attractive.
Why, Mr. Rice.
Yeah, as a matter of fact... I do believe we have a luncheon engagement.
Why the nerve of that guy? Gus, he's a wolf.
Phil Hanley, you get right out of here. You've caused enough trouble.
No, sir, not till I've had a word with Mr. Rice.
Who are you?
Never mind that. Do you want good, authentic Western stories for your magazines?
Why, yes, of course I do.
Well, then what difference does it make? Who writes them?
Well, you...
Does the world have to know that Shorty West is a woman? Oh, does it?
Well, now see here, you...
Nobody's going to know that Shorty West is a woman unless you tell them.
Yeah, but if old J.B. ever found out about
Who's J.B.?
The owner of True Western Yarns. He can't stand the sight of a woman. Can't even enjoy his yacht. Somebody's always referring it as she.
Just what is J.B. going to say when he finds out that one of his prize editors has been taken in by a designing female?
What do you mean by that?
Well, you've been publishing stories by Shorty West, ain't you? To me, she looks very feminine indeed.
J.B. would be furious. Well, you wouldn't dare tell... What's that?
Sounds like Gramps.
Now, get in there with you, you blasted polecat.
I ain't done nothing, I tell you. Bill. Oh, Bill, please tell him who I am, will
you?
He thinks I'm a horse thief.
I ought to let Genevieve speak her piece, but I got to keep control of myself. The law has come out here to the West now. Nori, call the sheriff.
Oh, Bill, please do something. I didn't do nothing honest. I was just looking around.
Oh, Gus.
Hey, pardon me. Ain't I seen you someplace before?
Oh, me?
That's a funny thing. I could have swore I'd seen you before. Your face looks right familiar. Did you ever ride range for Luke Collins?
No.
No? Cass Wilkins, maybe.
No.
No? Well, I guess it must have been over at the old Double Bar Ranch then. No, I didn't get either. Now, wait a minute now. It's coming to me.
Gramps, this is Mr. Rice, a friend of mine. Now, give me that gun.
Well, I'm mighty glad to meet you, Mr. Rice. I swear I'd seen you before. Maybe the night of the Ironwood stage robbery. It was one of them
Gramps,
times...
now, please. Yeah, these gentlemen aren't interested in...
Who scuttled out that door?
That was Gus Scuttle.
The horse thief, huh? Doggone it, I should have hog-tied him in the first place. All right, I'm giving you fair warning. I'm going to count to three, and then I'm coming for you.
Gramps, give me that gun.
When I do, I'm a-coming a-smoking. One, two...
I'll take that gun.
Three. Hey, somebody got my gun. Somebody stole Genevieve.
Ah, Genevieve, huh? Why, that's it, of course.
What do you mean?
Who's got my gun?
There's only one man in the West that calls his six-gun Genevieve, and he always gives a fair warning before he comes out a-smoking. That man's Cole Sheldon.
Cole Sheldon?
And the Cole Sheldon stories are written by Shorty West. Gramps here is Shorty West.
Why, I ain't no such thing.
Oh, it's all my fault. I guess Gramps really is Shorty West. All I did was write down the stories he told me. We needed the money and...
Well, we're going to have plenty of money now, Norrie.
We are?
Yep. What with the new highway coming right through here. Elmer Haskins told me about it last week. That's how come I sold out to that oil company. They're going to build a new station here.
What? But you sold the property?
Well, I sure did. Got a right fine price for it, too.
Oh, Gramps, then you're not angry.
Why, golly, no. Getting too blasted city-fied around here anyway. I've been sort of hankering to shove on for quite a spell.
No, I meant about me selling your stories.
Why, that's all right, Nora. What do you think I sent you to that journalism school for?
Why, Gramps.
Well, it looks to me as though you better sign this contract, Gramps.
Me? Well, I can't write.
Millions of people think you can.
Do you? Well, shucks, all I can do is jabber.
Well, I guess old J.B. can't very well object to a man dictating his stories to a private secretary, can he, Miss Stevens? Miss Stevens, I... Oh, I beg your pardon.
Oh, Bill.
Forgive me.
Uh-huh.
Well, I'll... All right, Mr. Stevens, you might as well just sign this contract.
All right, sir. You ask, Kurt. Here you be.
Well, you just put an X on the paper.
Well, of course it did. I said I couldn't write, didn't I? That's why I sent Nori to that school, so there'd be one writer in the family.
And the curtain falls on the last act of another swank Broadway performance at the Little Theater off Times Square. Mr. Zelay and Miss Lottie are receiving a great ovation, a place to hit. If the first night is like it, listen to that applause. Next week, ladies and gentlemen, there's a real treat in store for you at the Little Theater. An exciting pirate yarn called Drink for the Damned. It's a swashbuckling story of high seas adventure, interwoven with a tender, heart-gripping romance. It's packed with suspense and paid off with a surprise. You'll want to hear it. So join us next week, won't you, at this same time. And ladies, to give a magic touch to your complexion, get the new cream makeup, Magic Touch. And now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Here's your cab, Mr. First Nighter.
Thank you. Good night. Campana's First Nighter program, starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule, is a copyrighted radio feature. Tonight's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or actual events.
To help protect peace for America, join the Citizen Marine Corps. Men 17 to 32 are eligible. Citizen Marine Corps members serve America while living and working at home. Special training and benefits are available. Inquire at your nearest Marine Corps recruiting office or post office. Play safe. Never scratch an irritated skin. It can cause serious infection. Use DDD prescription, a cooling, soothing liquid that brings almost instant relief from the irritating discomfort caused by eczema, rash, hives. DDD prescription is a doctor's formula, proved in use for over 50 years. Trial bottle, 35 cents. The First Nighter program came to you over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.